Good evening, Abba Yisai. We're up to Siman Shin Chav Dalet. We'll Beis Hashem finish the Siman tonight. We're up to Sif Yud Beis. I'd like to rectify something which I slightly misquoted, I believe, yesterday upon further investigation. We learned yesterday that when it comes to feeding animals, there is a distinction between animals which are
domesticated.
Yes. And in the words of the Shulchan Aruch is that mezonosav alecha, mezonosav alecha or not. Animals which are under your control, you have to feed them, you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos. Animals which are not under your control, you're not allowed to feed them on Shabbos. It's a tichim. Now, what about dogs? So there is an additional point of view. Obviously, if it's your own dog, it's mezonosav alecha, and if it's your own dog, you've got to feed it on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah though adds, what about if it's not your own dog? What if it's not your own dog? It's a, I don't know if it's a wild dog or it's a dog, your neighbor's dog, but it's not yours. You're allowed to feed it, yes or no. So the Mishnah Berurah here brings from Magen Avraham in Sifkot Lamed Aleph, that's right. In Sifkot Lamed Aleph, that even a dog which is not yours, when it comes to a dog, there's an exception over here. So if you've got a cat, you're allowed to feed it. And if it's not your cat, you're not allowed to feed it. If you've got a horse, you're allowed to feed it. If it's not your horse, you're not allowed to feed it. If it comes to a dog, if it's your dog, you're allowed to feed it. If it's not your dog, you're also allowed to feed it. Why is that? What's the yichas of a dog? So the Mishnah Berurah says something which we'd have to check with a vet, or a dog owner, to what extent that we can relate to it nowadays. There's a little bit of a mitzvah to feed dogs, yes, because K'mo Shomu Chazal state Shechas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Olav, Hakadosh Baruch Hu has got Rachmanos mercy on dogs. Lefish Mizaynoisa of Mu'otin, he's got only a little bit of food. Dogs are not great, not big eaters. Humasha Chilosa B'Meyov, and he's got in his stomach food. Shalois Akel Shlesh Yomim, he has within his digestive system for 3 days. He's got food, and therefore he's going to be hungry. And therefore, it's mutter to eat. So dogs are different. And you're allowed to feed a hungry dog, even if it's not yours. If you see a hungry horse, don't feed it on Shabbos. If you see a hungry dog on Shabbos, you may feed it if you wish to do so. In fact, it looks like, to some extent, that it's mixed success, that it's the right thing to do to feed a hungry dog. Now, what about What about if you've got fish in a fish tank? You have to feed fish in a fish tank on Shabbos. Your own fish, goldfish. That apparently, I hear that fish apparently they've got such a memory span that apparently by the time they've made the full circle, they've forgotten that they've started it. So they say. Is that true? What, you've tried and tested? What? How do you know it's not true? You heard it's not true? Okay.
It's definitely not true.
It's definitely not true?
Thousands of different species of fish, and some of them can remember things for decades.
Really? Alright, okay. Okay, fine. Okay, so, but either way, whether it's got a strong memory or a little bit less so, either way, I'd like to feed it on Shabbos. Fish tank? Over Fangold? Goldfish? Feed on Shabbos, yes or no? They will survive. Anybody? Goldfish? Rabbi Isai? How long will goldfish survive? They'll survive.
2 or 3 days without food, but then the same could be said for any other animal.
Yeah. So, but Rabbi Fangold seems to say, hold that if there is no... Why are you saying that it depends on how he can survive?
What's this?
You see, like the Kelev...
Fish. There's no cruelty by fish.
There's no cruelty because he just... They won't much. They won't. They won't complain. They won't complain. Right. There's probably an element of a chiddush in Reb Shlomo Zalman's psak. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, "If mezonosav alecha, you may feed fish on Shabbos. If it's yours, may feed them on Shabbos." Yeah, that's. So I think probably the rationale in that is I imagine that since you feed it every day, so. So that's a responsibility, that's your accepted responsibility. You don't have to work out and estimate to what extent how long can he survive? How long can he not survive? Is he in pain, not in pain? If that's your normal sedayim, that's the routine that you're going to feed it every day, so you may continue to do so on Shabbos as well. Another shaila, which was asked, is about what happens if you got a mouse, and not stubborn mouse, but a mouse that was caught in a mouse trap on Shabbos. You want it to die. You want it to die, so therefore you don't feed it. Does everybody agree to that? A mouse caught in a mouse trap. You have to feed it or not feed it on Shabbos?
1 second. It was caught on Shabbos?
Yes.
Most mouse traps would kill the mouse instantly. So we're saying this is one where it's not really a big standard mouse trap.
When it enters.
The ones that you enter and then you can't go out. Yeah, and then you still have to. The animal friendly ones, as it were.
Right.
So the psak is yes indeed, as you said, that the maestro you may not feed it, because I don't know if you may not or you shouldn't or you mustn't, I'm not sure, but the concept of mizonos v'lechol doesn't apply in this concept. Okay, this is with regards to the regular animals. If your base goes into a silkworm, shayla, mutal aichel tolas hameshi, that's a silkworm, you're allowed to feed the silkworm on Shabbos too. And the reason is in Sifkot Lamed Beis Mishtabur explains Le'aichil Lefimish Mizonesen Olecho. Here again, the food is all new. It doesn't matter if it's only tiny little silkworm. It doesn't make a difference. She'elo Mashiyoichal. He has got no other source of nourishment besides what you're giving it. Ki Mashinois Lalom. And therefore, V'domi La'avozim V'tanagun. It's like a chicken. Just because it's small, you mustn't do a racial discrimination just because it's small. So fine, it's a silkworm, so let it be small. But at the end of the day, if you're feeding it, so you may feed it on Shabbos as well. But it is mukta. See, if Yud Gimel goes into Ma'amid Odom Behemtoi. Oh, that's a very famous Shulchan Aruch. Very, very famous Shulchan Aruch here. Very, very famous indeed. Ma'amid Odom Behemtoi Gabi Asovim Mechuborim. You are allowed to put an animal, a cow, a horse, a donkey. You're allowed to put it al gabe asavim on the grass, the field. Mechuborim, although it is still, the grass is still growing, it's connected grass. You may let your cow free roaming around in the field. You may do so. Veloi chashinon, and we are not concerned, shemayit leishmem, that maybe he's going to pull some off. We're not concerned about it. You keep your horses and your donkeys and your animals in the field, and you're not concerned, there's no problem of it pulling off the grass from the... Normally we would say that it's a melach of what? Pull off grass?
Tolish.
At least, yeah, tolish, yeah. So, but here we're not concerned about that. You may put your cows in the field. Avo loyal gabe mukta, but you may not put it on mukta. So mukta would be if it's any hay or something, which is mukta, which hasn't been designated for animal food, which is, it's mukta hay or mukta cut grass, mipneshi surikal, since the issa is only a light issa, chayshinon shamit lo memenu biyadayim, if you keep the animal in an area where there's mukta hay, which hasn't been designated for it to eat, mukta grass, cut grass, which has not been designated for the animal to eat, so it's all mukta. And then we're concerned, if you're keeping the animal there on that field, full of mukta, you know this, for instance, what are they called? There's the... when they're like nicely wrapped up, So you may not keep the and if you, let's say it's there for, you intend to sell all that hay, you intend to sell it. So don't keep, if it's mukta now, so don't keep the animals next to it, because we're concerned that you're going to end up feeding the animal from it, and that's mukta, and that's going to be also. So you may not do so. That's what Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch says. V'chayshinon shamayit elam emenu b'dayim, we're concerned if you're keeping the animal there, you're going to end up feeding it with your hands. V'dafkil amidol gabe mamash. That's if it's mamash on it. Mamash, literally mamash on it. Havalama defoneo, but if you're putting it at a slight distance, it's like a little bit further away, before in front of it. Pe'inon in a way, shaloi sucha lahato is elodeh sham. Mutter, but if you're putting it in a place that inevitably it's going to end up going there, but that's not physically what you're doing, you're not literally feeding the animal, but you're putting it in somewhere, in a kind of farm, or in a place that it's going to end up by the mukta, that's fine, because if that's what the animal decides to go, and that's fine, if animal doesn't have an issa mukta. But if you're putting it literally on top of something, then we're concerned you're going to end up feeding the animal with your own hands, the mukta, and that's what the problem is. But I want to focus, though, on the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, which is very interesting. We're learning that you're allowed to put the animal somewhere where it's going to cut the grass, because that's why it's... You're allowed to put your cows in a field where there's grass. 1 second. It's going to be toilish. He's going to start cutting the grass and eating it. Why? Why are you allowed to do that? Why, Taka, are you allowed to do that? Why, Taka, we're not concerned? I know, my cow, what's the name of a cow?
Daisy.
My cow, Daisy, there's no way I can keep there's no way I'm going to keep the cow. It's not going to be on the grass without starting to eat. It's going to eat that grass, isn't it? So, why is it mutter? I'm not allowed to put it in front of mukta. Because I'm going to end up feeding over here the animal itself. I know, we know there's an issa. Or let me phrase it as follows. There's an issa that we say in Kiddush every day, Leman Yinuach, that I have an issa, a mitzvah derais of Shvisas Behemtoi, that like I must keep Shabbos, I also spoke about that previously in earlier Simonim, I have a mitzvah derais to ensure that my children keep Shabbos, and lehavdil, my animals keep Shabbos. It's an obligation. Leman Yinuach, Shoicha, that I have to ensure. And that's why we spoke earlier, whole Simon Shin Aleph, Simon Shin Gimel speaks about not putting a load. We have loads of halachas. There's an ilchas masa with regards to an animal. I'm not allowed to put a load on a donkey or a horse because it's going to end up carrying on Shabbos. The animal is not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Animal is not allowed to do melachas on Shabbos. It's an issa d'oreis, no less. So if that's the case, we've got to ask a question. Why am I allowed to let my cow in a field? It's going to do toilesh. Like my animal is not allowed to do melachas hoitzo on Shabbos. Not for me, but for itself. It's not allowed to carry something. The animal is not allowed to do hoitzo on Shabbos. So similarly also, the animal shouldn't be allowed to do toilesh on Shabbos. So why am I allowed to let? Surely I should really put a muzzle on all my cows and tie all my donkeys very, very tight. Not allowed to eat. Because of melechas, as you said, melechas toilish. Good question.
It's cruel. It's cruel not to let it.
It's cruel. Oh. Are you talking animal rights? It's cruel. It's cruel. It's like it's Tzabar Chaim. You're saying Tzabar Chaim.
Yeah.
Tzabar Chaim. Are we agreeing on that? Tzabar Chaim. So Mrs. Akil says there's a big difference when it comes to Oitza. Why is it also? Because the animal is carrying. Why is it carrying? Why is it carrying a wagon? Why is it allowed to carry loads? Who is it doing it for? For us, yeah. So that's going to be also. But if we're here, the cutting grass. Why is it doing it? Is eating the grass for itself? So it would be. So Mr. Gill says that's why it's mut over here, because it's doing it for itself. So Tzabar Chaim, it's a head to Tzabar Chaim. But I want to just say technically, this is not. It cannot be 100% correct, because Tzabar Chaim is. I mean, we're talking about the Reise over here. Does the Reise push away another the Reise? I mean, if we'd be talking about the Rabbonon, you'd probably be right. That Tzabar Chaim, the Reise perhaps will push away the Rabbonon. But it's a the Reise of it. Tzabar Chaim, perhaps it's a the Reise, but cutting grass on Shabbos is also the Reise. Shvisa Behemto is the Reise. So how does it technically work? Oh, so that's pretty much where we're going. Says the Mishnah Berurah. It says in Mishnah Berurah, in Seif Kotten, Lamed Gimel, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. And that's really important, probably the most important Mishnah Berurah in regards to the Issa of Shvisa Behemtoi. So it's a little bit Shaloi Bim Koimoi. Seif Kotten Gimel tells him, Ma'amid Adam Behemtoi, the Issa Mechilta, the Mechilta says, Leman Yonuach, in order it should rest. Who's he talking about? The animal. The pasuk says, "Leman Yinuach, it should rest." And lo yochel, I would have thought lo yanichenu toilesh va'oika. I would have thought you can. I'm not allowed to let it graze and cut grass. I would have thought perhaps I'm not allowed to. Say, but then the pasuk says, "Leman Yinuach," because the pasuk tells us, "Leman Yinuach, in order to rest." Ve'ein zenuach, this would not be a relaxation for the animal. Mamash, as you are saying, pretty much, it wouldn't be a relaxation for the animal. Elo tzar, it would be agony for the animal to be in a state of fasting for the whole Shabbos. Would be not Yinuach, would be relaxation. Would be agony. Would be tzar, and therefore the pasuk itself is allowing the animal to. Leman Yinuach, the fact that it's Yinuach, the relaxation of the animal is to eat. And like humans get pretty tensed up when they're not eating. So similarly also, animals also, they're not relaxed. They're not relaxed. If the possible lemon yunuach, it must be that it's allowed to eat and graze and cut its grass on Shabbos. So if you want to know, yeah, so that's why that is. There's an exact cost of that. You're allowed to, that animal is allowed to graze on Shabbos. So are you okay with that? Pardon? Wow, yes, I know exactly what you mean. That you're saying that surely the fact that because it's relaxing to have air conditioning, yeah. So what's the answer to that very, very important question?
Why don't we just say the animal's not
chayav melacha? Well, it is.
An animal can turn on the lights, which...
If I'm asking the animal... No, an animal's not allowed to carry for me. Animal's not allowed to carry for itself. It's not so partial. I mean, if there is certain... it's true, we did learn certain muzzles and certain things which the animal was allowed to have for its own protection. But it was only for protection. If the animal, there is certain things the animal is not allowed to carry even for its own sake. If
an animal goes and picks up a log and walks it, if an animal goes for a swim...
That's all part of Leman Yenuach. The heter is Leman Yenuach. That's its relaxation. No. It's true that the animals are chayav mitzvahs, you are right. But at the same time, I have an obligation that to ensure that the animal is resting on Shabbos of the 13 amalachas. Shvisas behemtoi. Shvisas behemtoi. I have to ensure my children rest on Shabbos, don't do malachas on Shabbos, and I have to ensure that lahavdil, my animals don't do malachas on Shabbos. So you are right, ultimately you're right, because the pasuk is telling us, l'man yinuach, that the way it's defined by the animal is different than it's defined by a human. And something which relaxes the animal, which is completely natural for the animal to do, like grazing, so that is the animal is allowed to do. But you are right, I mean, Rabbi Fangel's point is correct, and it sounds like, so the pshat is, when it comes to the animal, that it's melechat chile, the mitzvah of shvisas behemtoi with the animal, is only things which is not in line with its relaxation. It's not pshat. But us, we're not allowed to switch air conditioning on Shabbos, because it's against the 13 melachos. But when it comes to the animal, intrinsically, the melachos were only said b'chai governor, that is, that, I don't know, but I think your ha'orah is a very strong ha'orah. It needs to be straightened, yeah.
It's a grammar.
It's not a grammar. It's absolutely right. What, you're cutting grass?
It's from your point of view.
No, but that's Shvisa Behemtoi's Mechadash. That any melach an animal does, it's an is of Shvisa Behemtoi.
You have dust. Your animal does not have dust. So if you're, if Lu Yitzuya, there could be a Hechatimsa where a cow or an ass could put a pack on its own back. Like, you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, and for some reason, your donkey's got to, like, put a pack on its back, somehow. You don't know how it did it. It's an amazing donkey. You don't have to... It's not your issa, because it was a grummer, and it was...
No, so that's not 100% accurate, because lemaisa shvisa behemtoi, I must ensure the animal... If the animal has got a bell on Shabbos, so we spoke about that as well. We've got to ensure the animal does not numelocha on Shabbos.
That's for your dying. You're not... pulling the grass off and stuffing it in the cow's mouth.
Right. So if it's not, yeah. So okay, that's perhaps what you're saying is the svar of Leman Yenuach. That the animal, when it starts doing it for its own relaxation, for its own sake.
Lodovka, even if you had a crazy cow, a cow that had some kind of brain damage, and it loved to, like, to go up to electric fences and give itself you know, for the sake of argument. The point is that giving itself a sad isn't your miser.
Yeah.
In the same way, if your 5-year-old starts juggling muksa on Shabbos, it's you have a chiv chinuch, but you haven't been either.
Yeah. Okay. That could. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's probably something in within. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We are moving on with Sif Tes Vav. Sivu Dalit. Yeah, Sivu Dalit is telling us a little bit about the hygienic standard of animals and the etiquette when it comes to animal food. So there is a lot of that as well. And the lot of follows in Sivu Dalit. Noitli Meichel Mipnei Chamoy, Venoistim Lifnei Shoy. You're allowed to take Noitli Meichel Mipnei Chamoy, you're allowed to take animal from a donkey, Venoistim Lifnei Shoy, and put it in front of the Shoy. In front of the. In front of the show, in front of the ox. Thank you very much. So, you're allowed to take the horse, the donkey's food, and put it in front of the show, in front of the ox. But you're allowed to take the animal which was presented and prepared for the show, for the ox, and take that and give it to the donkey. You may not. You may not take food which was in front of the ox and give it to the donkey. Why? Why not to do so? It's because of the hygienic standard. Mipnei, because shenimas berire ashoir, the ox tends to dribble a little bit, the saliva coming out, and ve'enroy oy lechamoir, and it's not hygienic for the donkey to eat that. It's not appetizing for the donkey to eat. So a donkey doesn't dribble as much, and therefore you can take the food which was in front of the donkey and put in front of the ox. That's fine, but not vice versa, because the ox's saliva makes it very unappetizing for the donkey to consume it. This is a locha that you are not allowed to do. You are not allowed to do it because of the difference of the hygienic standard of the animals. Isn't that amazing? Yes, correct. Correct. The Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, 1 second. The Gemara says, "V'yesh machmirim gam kem b'shamini behemois," and this halacha applies also with regards to other animals. Says the Gemara, "Likach lifnei achas." Don't take from one animal the leftovers. V'litin lifnei acheres she'enu minon. Present it to other animals. You're quite right, Rabbi Kagan. This will apply also on a Tuesday as well. So if you've got in your backyard, you've got a couple of donkeys, and you want to give the leftovers to your sheep in the front. Don't do that because they've got different hygienic. The saliva is not particularly. It's not right. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Lamed Vav says noisim lifnei asher v'she'ein asher kotz b'meichel ani shem nachamoyer. It's not the shoyer, the ox is not disgusted by the donkey she'ein mit matel rir because it doesn't have saliva coming down. Okay. So that is that. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Lamed Zayin tells us. Ox to ox is fine, donkey to donkey is fine, and sheep to sheep is fine. If it's the same animal, that's acceptable, that's fine. Sif tezvav also ligroif ha'evus lifnei shoyer shel ptam. This is just, the evus is the trough. You have to sweep out and sweep ligroif to sweep to clean the trough from the ox. Shall ptam afilu evus shall kli gzeira otu shall karkat osir ashvu gumois v'osgam ken esale katel lifnei atzvarim. What this is talking about is if you've got a trough, you may not clean it out. Also ligroif ha'evus lifnei shoyer shel ptam. You're allowed to sweep it down in front of another animal. V'afilu evus shel kli, even if it's made out of a kli, gzeira otu shel karkat osir ashvu gumois. If you're just going to sweep it out and you clear it up. So what's going to happen is this resembles to some extent. You've got this metal keli, and by clearing it out and cleaning it out, what it appears to be doing is you're mashve gumois. By cleaning it, it's true you're only cleaning it, but this big metal trough, what it appears to be, is as if you're actually making the holes even. That's what it looks like. And gzeira otu shel karka the ashvel ashvu gumois, because remember that often troughs are not made out of metal, they're actually on the floor, they're part of the floor, and therefore, if it's connected to the floor, it will be mashvei gumois, and therefore even a metal keli, which is actually detached, don't clean it and sweep it, because it would appear as if you're mashvei gumois, and even putting the tev and the hay on the side, will be also, because this again will appear as if it's mashvei gumois. The Mishnah Berurah explains if cotton mem that what happens is the shom regilus who shemichavel ashvu gomis k'deshlipu asurim b'gumois. A normal trough has got holes, and you will at times put a bit of wheat and a bit of grain. You're going to put them to stuff it to make it even and to make it clean. That's what sometimes you're going to end up doing. So therefore, it's not so remote, it's not so distant to understand that if you're taking this metal trough and you're sweeping it out, it will appear as if you're actually filling the holes. Mashvei gumois, you're filling the holes. And therefore, it's awesome with Rabbon. Rabbi said we learned this evening. We discussed again the difference between an animal which is on you, mezonos of olav, and mezonos of ein olav. The difference that is the dogs, which even if a mezonos of olecha, you're still allowed to feed it. We spoke about the silkworm, which you're allowed to feed as well. And then we spoke about the very important yesoid, that yes, it is true, there's an issa, there's a mitzvah of shvisas behemtoi, but that doesn't apply with regards to letting animals graze in the field, because that is included in a special exemption on a Torah level of Leman Yonuach, Ve'ein Zeh Nuach Elotzai. If the animal is not allowed to graze, that would cause agony and cholera that we don't want to do. And therefore it is permitted to let animal graze, although he's going to do Melechas Toilesh. Then we spoke about the etiquette of with regards to animals, a little bit of hygienic standards. When it comes to donkeys, you're allowed to take donkey's food and put it in front of the ox, but not vice versa, because the ox's saliva is not particularly appetizing for other animals. This is with regards to all the other animals, according to the Gemara as well, to not swap, bring feed, one fodder to another, one feed to another animal type, because they will be repulsed. That's the word. Thank you very much. Okay, good evening, Aboisang. We'll be learning Simon Shin Chav Hei from tomorrow evening. Amen. Hashem.